Hey friends, thanks so much for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. We're so glad to have you with us. And today, Rick continues in his series called Transform. Together, we'll dive into God's Word and discover powerful principles that can truly change our lives from the inside out. Spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, and vocationally. You'll experience how God's truth brings real transformation to every part of your life. I can't wait to get started. Here's the final part of a message called Transforming How I See and Use Money.
How do I use my money for God's purposes? How do I use my money for good and for God? Well, there are a lot of ways to do that. But one of the ways you can do good with your money is use money to save time. Say what? Yeah, use money to save time. Why? Because you can always get more money, but you can't get more time. Time is far more important than money. Your time is your life. If you watch a show on TV for an hour, you just gave up an hour of your life. Was it worth it? Because you're never getting that hour back. You can always get more money, but you can't get more time. So if you can use money to save time, that's a good investment because time's more important than money. You can use money to save lives. You can use money to do good. You can use money to honor God. There are lots of things you can do good with money. Now, let's look at this dishonest manager. Why did Jesus make him the hero of the story? What did Jesus like about this guy? He certainly didn't like his dishonesty. Remember, the guy's going to get canned. He's going to get fired. And so he brings in these people. And the first guy says, let's write down your debt 50%. Okay, just write it down 50%, and it'll be fine. Just write it down, and we won't tell the boss about it. Then the second thing, he brings another guy in, he says, write down your debt 20%. Okay, we're going to write down your debt 20%, and we'll take care of that. We'll just be between you and me, all right? Obviously, he's dishonest, but he did three things right. And these are the three things that God wants you to do with your money. Okay, number one, what did he do? He looked ahead. He looked ahead. In verse 3, he says, what am I going to do now? He's thinking about the future. And you know what? Most people never look ahead when it comes to their finances. They're living for today. Because every advertisement in our society, this culture teaches you, have it now, spend it now, make it now, use it now, forget about the future. And that's why very few people are savings, okay? The average savings in Europe is about 12% of savings. People save about 12% of their income. The average saving in Japan is about 25% of their income. The average savings of Americans last year was minus 1%. We spent 1% more than we made. We're saving nothing. That's not smart. That's not good. And so he looks ahead. What am I going to do now? Look at this verse on the screen. Proverbs 14, verse 8 says this. The wise man looks ahead. The fool attempts to fool himself and won't face the facts. I wonder what facts you're not willing to face in your life. Let's just talk about this one area. What financial facts are you unwilling to face? Some of you are living in a house you can't really afford. And you're stretched and you're stressed and you can't make ends meet. And what you really need to do is downsize. You need to get out of that house and buy something more manageable. But whether it's comfort or ego or whatever it is, you won't face the fact. And you're going deeper and deeper in debt. Some of you have a car you can't afford. And you need to go sell that car, trade it in, get something more manageable. I drive a 14-year-old Ford. It's been 13 years since I made a car payment. Wouldn't you like to be that? I haven't made a car payment in 13 years. Why? Because my car still runs fine. I don't drive my car for bling. I drive it to get me somewhere. So I'm not, I don't want to have to pay for that new smell. I'll just go buy the little smell thing and spray it. Okay, the point is he looked ahead. What facts do you need to face up to in your finances? Number two, he made a plan. And that's the next verse. He says, I know what I will do. Do you have a plan? How do you know if you've got a financial plan? Well, it's real simple. Do you have a budget? Are you following? A budget is simply planned spending. That's all a budget is. A budget is simply planning your spending. If you don't have a budget, you don't have a plan. A budget is telling your money where you want it to go rather than wondering where it went. But you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan. Look at this verse on the screen, Proverbs 16:9. We should make plans, the Bible says, counting on God to direct us. So the third thing that he did, he looked ahead, he made a plan, he acted quickly. And he gets commended for that. He didn't procrastinate, he didn't delay, he set his plan in motion. He didn't say, someday I'm going to get my finances in order. Someday I'm going to start saving for retirement. He doesn't say, someday I'll, one of these days. One of these days is none of these days. Now, the Bible says this in Luke 16:4. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. Now, see that verse on the screen? That is the very thing Jesus is commending. Not as dishonesty, but that attitude, which says this: I'm going to think ahead, I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to invest in some relationships so that when I'm out on my rear end, there are going to be people who will take me into their homes. He says, that's smart. Think ahead, make a plan now. Most people have no plan for the future. They're just drifting through life day by day. He says, that's not very wise. He says, you need to take the long view. Now, when Jesus talks about the long view, he's not talking about retirement. He's talking about the long view on the other side of death. Are you storing up treasure in heaven, or are you spending it all here and wasting it all here? Are you storing up treasure in heaven? That's the long-range plan. What are you going to do with that? Now, number four, this fourth truth is really, really counterculture. But Jesus says it, so I have to teach it to you. And it's this: the best use of money is to use it to get people into heaven. The best use of my money is to use it getting people into heaven. Now let me read. This is the most problem verse that people don't understand. Verse 9. Jesus says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves. He's talking about building relationships, so that when it is gone, they will welcome you into your eternal dwelling. He's talking about heaven. And he says, just like this dishonest guy made friends that he could count on later, he says, you need to use some of your money to make spiritual friends, eternal friends, friends you're going to have forever in heaven, who will welcome you when you get to heaven. And does that shock you? Now, what is he not saying here? He's not saying you can buy your way into heaven, because you can't. You can't buy your way into heaven. The price has already been paid by Jesus on the cross. He's not saying you can purchase your salvation, because you can't. You can't purchase your eternal salvation. It's free. It's a gift. It's by grace. What he's saying is use your money to build relationships that are going to go on and on and on and on for eternity, spiritual friendships. Use your affluence for good influence. And he says that when I use my money to help other people meet Jesus, I make friends for eternity, and I gain rewards for eternity. Now circle the phrase, when they will welcome you into eternal dwellings. He's talking about heaven there. Now imagine, one day you're going to die, and you get to heaven, and there's 100 people there standing at the entrance to heaven, clapping and cheering you, saying, we've been waiting on you. We're so glad you're here. We're here because you spent some money to tell us the good news. And we're your friends for life. No, we're your friends for eternity because we're indebted to you. If it weren't for the way you used your money, we wouldn't have heard how to get to heaven. Are you using any of your money for that kind of thing? Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? Because of the way you used your money? Now look, when you go buy a Christian book or a Bible and you give it to somebody who doesn't have a Bible, you just invested stored up treasure in heaven. When you go help support a radio program that shares the good news around the world, you have just stored up treasure in heaven. When you help build a church like Saddleback or any other church, and that 50 years after you die, that church helps somebody get to know God in a personal way, you have just stored up treasure in heaven. That is the highest and best use because you're sending it on ahead. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. How? By investing in people who are going there. That is your eternal IRA, individual retirement account. Now, number five, this is the last truth, and this is an important one. One day, I'll give an account to God. One day, there's going to be an audit on my life. How I use not just my money, but everything that God gave me. What did you do with what you were given? Your talent, your relationships, your opportunities, your mind, your creativity, your contacts, your networks. What did you do with what God gave you? Now, it doesn't really matter whether you got a lot or a little. Our church is a church family with people at every level of economic status. In our church, we have many people who are very, very, very poor. And in our church, we have some people who are very, very, very rich. And the rest of us are all somewhere in between. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much or how little you've got. What matters is, what are you doing with what you've been given? And can God trust you with more? You're going to stand before God one day. He's going to do a life audit. Verse 2 says this: you must now give an account of your stewardship and report what you've done with what I entrusted to you, because your time as a manager is ending. One day, your time as a manager on earth is going to end. You're not going to live on earth forever. No, you weren't meant to live on earth forever. But God has entrusted certain assets to you as the manager. And he says, okay, I'm going to watch you, and I'm going to test you, and I'm going to see what you're doing with what you've been given. What are you doing with the mind I gave you? What are you doing with the health I gave you? What are you doing with the freedom I gave you? Are you spending it all on yourself? Oh, time out. Wait a minute. You think that's the whole purpose of life? To live for you? You think I created you just to live for yourself? Wrong answer. One day your management career is going to end. And the Bible says this: each of us will have to give a personal account to God. Here's the last principle. If I'm faithful with a little, God can trust me with more. If I'm faithful with a little, then God will be able to trust me with more. And that's what verse 10 says. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with little will be dishonest with much, and obviously whoever is irresponsible with little will be irresponsible with much. Are you using your money in such a way that God says, man, I want to give them more? Are you using your time in such a way? Are you using your influence? This principle applies to every area. Now, follow me on this. If God has given you just a little bit of talent, you just got a little bit of talent, but you're faithful to use it. You don't say, I'm not a superstar, so I won't do anything. I'm going to use what little talent I've got. You know what will happen? God will increase your talent. If you just got a little bit of influence, but you say, you know what, I'm going to lose what little influence I've got for good and for God, God will increase your influence. If you just got a little bit of money, you say, but I'm going to use this wisely, the way God says to use it, then God will increase your possessions, your material possessions. It's true of opportunities, it's true of network, it's true of everything in life. Look at this verse on the screen, Matthew 25. Jesus said, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have what? I want, as your pastor who loves you, I want you to have that abundance in every area of your life. But you got to use what you've been given. Faithfulness in little ways produce fruitfulness in big ways. You say, when I make it big, man, then I'll really become generous. When I make it big, then I'm going to start tithing. No, you won't. You start tithing when you're poor. That's how you get out of poverty. You start managing well what God has given you, and then God can trust you. I have seen this happen in every area of my life now for over 40 years. And when I was a very young man, I began to take what little I'd been given, what little intelligence, what little talent, what little influence, what little money God had given me, and I was faithful with it. And I used it for good, not for my purpose, but for good and for God. And God gave me more, and God gave me more, and more, and more, and kept increasing me, my influence, my blessings in all these different areas. Most of you know that when I wrote Purpose Driven Life 12 years ago, it became the best-selling book in the world for 4 years. It's in Guinness Book of Records with 2 records. First, it's the best-selling book in American history, hardback. And second, it's the most translated book in the world, second only to the Bible. And people often ask, why do you think God chose you? I'm not even an author. I'm not a professional author. I'm a pastor. I've never taken a class on writing. So how do you write the best-selling book in American history? Why do you think God chose me? I didn't know for a long time. I know now. He knew he could trust me with the money. He knew I wouldn't use it on myself. He knew I would give it away because I had a 30-year track record. Most of you know I live on 9% and give away 91%. When that book hit, I could have gone out and bought a small nation. And I could have had all these butlers serving me drinks with little umbrellas in them. But when you write a book and the first line is, it's not about you, you know the money's not for you. And so we didn't do that. And you know I don't take a salary from this church. Haven't done so. I've served this church now free for 33 years. Faithfulness in little ways produces fruitfulness in big ways. I want God's blessing on your life, but you got to do it God's way. Let's bow our heads. So let's do a little personal evaluation in your own life. I want you to ask yourself some questions. First, does God really have first place in my life? Or is something else first place in my life? Can God trust me with what he's allowed me to have? Am I managing my money well? Am I managing my opportunities well? Am I managing my life well? Am I managing my health well, or everything else God has given me? Does the way that I'm using my money show God that I can be trusted with more? What or how much am I investing for eternity? Will anybody be in heaven because of the way I'm using my money? Why don't you pray this prayer? Say, dear God, I don't want to waste money. Just say that in your mind. God, I don't want to waste your money. I don't want to love it. I don't want to live for it. I don't want to trust in it for my security. And I don't want to expect it to satisfy and meet needs that only you can meet. God, from this day forward, help me to remember every day that it all belongs to you, that I don't really own anything, that it's all just on loan from God, and you're going to loan it to somebody else after I die. God, I want what I do with my money to show that I love you the most. And I want what I do with my money to show that I trust you for security, not my bank account. And God, I want you to look at the way I'm using my life and my money and know that you can trust me with greater responsibility. Help me to remember that money is just a tool. While many people use it for bad, I want to use it for good and for God. Help me to do what this manager did right. Help me to look ahead. Help me to make a plan. Help me to act quickly and not procrastinate. Lord, you've said from your own words that the best use of money is to help get people into heaven, so that that's storing up treasure in heaven. Lord, I want to use some of my money to do that. I know that one day I'll give an account to you for how I used my life and what I did with what I was given. You've said that where your treasure is, your heart is. So God, I want to give you my heart today, Jesus Christ. I don't understand it all, but as much as I know how, I ask you to come into my life. I want a relationship with you, not a religion, but I want to learn to know you and love you and serve you and feel your love. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time, or you just recommitted your life to Jesus again today, would you let me know about it? There's something real about sharing your commitment. So write me, Rick at PastorRick.com, and say, Rick, I prayed that prayer of commitment. I gave my life to Christ. And I'll send you some material that'll help you on your journey with Jesus, and I'll also pray for you. God bless you.
Wow, some powerful words from Pastor Rick today. And now this is really one of my favorite parts of the broadcast. This is letters from our listeners. And now here's Rick.
I want to take a minute and tell you how important your support is to Daily Hope. Your generosity, when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping us take the message of Jesus Christ literally all around the world in the many places where there aren't missionaries or churches. These are called unreached tribes. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the refugee crisis around the world. Literally, millions of people have been displaced from their homes, particularly in the Middle East and in North Africa, because of civil wars and violence. One of those places is South Sudan, where over 200,000 people are living in refugee camps. Now, when people are under tension and in transition, they are more open to the gospel than at any other time. These people who are living in refugee camps right now need the hope of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Now, when you help Daily Hope Radio and Daily Hope Broadcast, we're not only broadcasting across America, but in places like South Sudan, where the station airs our program three times a day. And we're told that many, many people are coming to Christ in this war zone as they listen to these Daily Hope broadcasts. So thanks. Thanks to you. Now, let me just read you one testimony that we've received. Here's a note from a woman who's living in a refugee camp there in South Sudan. She said, my name is Joyce, and I'm from the Central Equatorial State in South Sudan. I lost all five of my children and my beloved husband. This is in the civil war that was going on there, as well as our family possessions during the recent fighting in the capital of Juba. She said, I had planned to commit suicide. There's somebody who needs hope. When I listened to Rick Warren's broadcast, the one called When You Feel Like Giving Up, I got inspired and I dropped the idea of taking my life that very night. And I'll continue to pray God to bless this great preacher. And thank you for giving me hope. Joyce, we're happy to do that. And I want to say it's because of the listeners who are giving faithfully every month to Daily Hope. Do you realize that when you give to Daily Hope, you're helping reach people like Joyce? She was going to commit suicide in a refugee camp. Now, isn't God amazing? How when you just give what you can give, God takes it and he multiplies it. And we reach out to people that none of us could reach on our own. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray for Joyce. And today I want you to pray for all of the people who are in refugee camps and pray that we'll be able to continue to broadcast on these stations, taking the good news of Jesus Christ and hope to people who need it the most desperately. It's your sacrificial giving. It's your prayer support that makes this possible. So thank you for whatever you can do. And God bless you, my friends.
Today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, really generous friends of the Daily Hope Ministry, they're going to match your gift up to $50,000. That's right, they'll match your gift, double it, up to $50,000. But please, act now because you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. So, go to PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Again, that's PastorRick.com or text the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.